going on.
Sadesh, please do stay with us. Let's speak to Rachel Horman-Brown, who is a solicitor who specialises in domestic abuse cases. Rachel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Why is it important to understand the cultural context to what is happening?
Because we need to be able to respond appropriately to victims and give them what they need and recognise if particular cultures have particular difficulties in terms of disclosing why they feel that it's difficult to disclose and how we can encourage them to do that. Otherwise, we're not going to hear those stories. Now, I totally agree with your last speaker in terms of the vast majority of domestic abuse is never reported. I've been working in this area for over 25 years as well. And the amount of clients that I speak to as a solicitor and also people who I meet in my social life who always make disclosures to me when I tell them what I do, the vast majority of them have never reported it. And statistically, only about 20% of domestic abuse is ever reported. So it's really important that we focus in on this and look at why aren't communities reporting, why aren't women in particular coming forward, and what can we do to improve that?
As someone, Rachel, who is not from the Sikh Punjabi community, how difficult is it then to ask questions which may involve cultural background for fear of being accused of potentially being racist?
Well, this is a question that's been around for a very long time. Mm. I also deal with forced marriage cases as well. I would rather be called a racist or accused of that than not asking the question.
Indeed.
And I think, you know, so many victims will say to me that nobody has asked them why they've been out of school for weeks and weeks at a time, for example, because of exactly that, because they're scared to ask questions in case they're perceived to be racist. And I think we've just got to, you know, put that to one side and actually ask the appropriate questions and give these victims a chance to get safe.
How many of these issues, though, if you look at it from a cultural perspective, how many of these actually boil down to uncomfortable universal truths about the reasons why people abuse each other in this way? Mostly men abusing women, but as is always pointed out, and rightly so, women abusing men.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that this is an issue across all cultures, across all communities, across all professions and across all ages. And different sections of society and communities have particular issues within that may mean that it's more difficult for them to report things, etc. But this is something that affects everyone. And I think we need to break down that stereotype that it only happens to certain types of people who do certain types of things. You know, I have clients who are solicitors, who are judges, who might be married to doctors, etc. You know, this really does affect everyone and we need to recognise that.
And I asked Sadesh this question as well, Rachel, about alcohol and the prevalence mm-hmm. of alcohol as a contributory factor.
Yeah. I don't believe that alcohol makes anyone become abusive. I believe that alcohol can exasperate a situation and perhaps embolden a perpetrator, but I don't believe that it creates perpetrators at all. And I think, you know, we often hear when you're reading about domestic abuse in the press, lots and lots of different excuses for perpetrators as to why they've done what they've done. Well, he was drunk, he'd just lost his job, he was struggling with lockdown, you know, and they are all just excuses. You know, when you look at things like, you know, football, for example, if England are winning, then domestic abuse goes up. If England are losing, then domestic abuse goes up. It seems to be that, you know, domestic abuse goes up, whatever. Mm. And we need to stop making these excuses, really, and start coming down in a much more robust way in terms of tackling the perpetrators instead of making excuses for them.
What is your advice then, Rachel, for a woman from a community like this who is going through domestic sexual abuse and fears that prosecuting her own family would lead to her not only, you know, having to go through the justice system, but also potentially losing her family and being encouraged to not talk about it? It will be sorted out within the family. I'm sure many of these scenarios you've been presented with before.
Yeah, I've heard that many times. And in my experience, very, very rarely is it ever sorted out within families. I would encourage any victim to contact a specialist service and to talk through what their options are.
Specialist service, Rachel, in this case?
Well, a specialist service which obviously has experience in dealing with domestic abuse rather than a generic victim service, for example.
Right.
And also, if the victim prefers, a service perhaps which specialises within having staff within their own communities so that they do understand the particular issues faced by them. But there are always more than one option in relation to these issues. I would absolutely encourage anybody to report it to the police. But if for whatever reason they feel that isn't something they feel comfortable with at that time, there are also other options which can be explored with them. And often it's about, you know, helping the victim to go on a journey of acceptance of, you know, this is wrong that's happening to them. Because initially when they come to speak to you, they perhaps don't even realise that A, it's illegal, or B, that it's wrong, that this isn't something that's happening in every household in the country. Because sometimes that's how they think, that's how they've been brainwashed to think. And it's helping that victim really kind of realise the situation they're in, educating them in terms of what their options are and what the likely impact of those options are, and empowering the victim to make that decision and supporting them through that journey. And I think that's a really important process that is generally left to charities and voluntary organisations to undertake, but is something that underpins, you know, the safety of all of those victims. It's so important.
So there's... What's next?
For us, it's our campaign, which is going to be raising awareness. We've launched a music video today as well as part of our conference. So we'll be spending some time during the 16 days of activism to raise awareness within the community. And then what we'll be doing is we'll start conversations with partners, with commissioners, talking to the police, talking to some of those funding agencies, because you know, we need to try and provide support to victims who are reaching out to us, as I said. And that's our next sort of, you know, 5-year, 10-year plan, is to develop Seek Women's Aid into a credible... I mean, the staff, the people who've set it up have all got, you know, between us, we've got 40 years experience. But we want to be able to provide support to women from our own community, because I think that's part and parcel as to why they haven't gone to generic services. Maybe they have previously experienced some forms of racism, or they haven't felt that that people have understood their situation. And so it's important to have organisations which are by and for those communities. And, you know, we want more people to reach out, and we want to see a change in our community. So that's what we'll be aiming to do.
And currently, and I know we're very early on in this, do you get the sense that community leaders, gurdwaras, the gatekeepers, as it were, are open to helping you to encourage women in the Sikh community to come forward, to say, actually, we take this seriously? Do you get a sense that it is moving in that direction?
As I said, you know, we've had a few emails from Gurdwaras. There will always be those who won't reach out to us. But we're very victim focused. So this is not about going into the gurdwaras to do, you know, training and stuff. That's not, you know, if we get invited, that's great. But what we're doing is we are very much victim focused. So our work is about encouraging victims to come to us, to come to us, to report to us, and then we'll support them whichever way, which way they need, whether that is to go to the police or down the legal services, or if it's just emotional and psychological support that they require, we will support them in whatever they need. So that's our focus. It will be victim focused. And if people want to be part of that journey, that's brilliant. It's great. And we have hope. You know, there are a lot of people that are supporting us, a lot of men from our community who are in the police force or work in, you know, the health and social care sector, public health and so on, who have really supported us. And hopefully they'll support us to garner those conversations further as well.
Sadesh Pal, thank you very much indeed. One of the co-founders of Seek Women's Aid. And also, thank you very much indeed to Rachel Horman Brown, who is a solicitor who specialises in domestic abuse. Rachel, thank you. 26 minutes to four.